Before we go to our prayer time tonight, I want us to look in our continuing series on a little leaven in Luke chapter 12 tonight. Luke chapter 12, we want to continue this series. For our visitors, we have been doing over the past month a Bible lesson on Wednesday nights relative to the thought of a little leaven and the warning that's given to us in 1 Corinthians 5 verses 6 through 8. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, and ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Bible has a great deal to say about little things that we have to watch out for. I shared with you the illustration from Colorado's Long Peak. I'm sure our Colorado friends here have probably been to that peak. But there was a 400-year-old pine tree that had been there for all those years. It had survived avalanches. It had survived freezing temperatures and the weight of snow and ice on its branches. But it was the little pine beetle, mountain pine beetle, that killed it after 400 years. A little beetle that's about the size of the end of your pinky. But it bored through the bark and got into the cadmium of the tree and destroyed it. And as a result, it could not bring the water up to the top of the tree, and it died after 400 years of existence. All it took was a little mountain pine beetle to destroy that old tree. All it takes is a little sin to destroy your life. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 that a fly in the ointment of the apothecary causeth it to send forth a stinking savor. In other words, it just takes one fly to ruin what is normally good. No one would want to use that oil after flies were found in it. And so we have to watch out for little things. Little attitudes may seem insignificant to you, but if you practice them long enough, they become big problems, big attitudes. As we said before, little indulgences may seem fine until you step up on the scales. And then you realize that should have been watching all along, because those little things started to pile up and add up. And then, of course, little wrong thoughts that you don't bother yourself with in destroying them, because that's what the Bible says we ought to do with wrong thoughts. We're to destroy them. We're to break them down and crush them. If you don't do that and you keep dwelling on them, soon they become part of your being and you accept them as part of your life. And so we have to watch out. I want to read the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 12 tonight as we continue with our series on a little leaven. Beginning at verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now he's going to share three things in these 12 verses concerning leaven of the Pharisees. The first of them is hypocrisy. And I think you ought to put over in the side in your margin, by the word leaven, draw a little line over it, says leaven, and I want to give you this definition, is the unseen agent of change. Leaven is the unseen agent of change. You mix it in with the dough, you don't know where the yeast is and where it isn't. But it slowly begins to change the dough into a larger piece of dough, which you will use if you're a baker, that's wonderful. If you're a Christian, this is bad. Because nowhere in the Bible is leaven considered to be something that is good. So in your margin there, right, leaven is the unseen agent of change. Verse 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto synagogues, and unto magistrates, and powers, take ye no thought how what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in our few minutes together tonight, I pray that you might help us to have open hearts to receive your word. Lord, help us to not allow our minds to wander off into the things that we're going to do tomorrow or the activities tonight after church. But help us, Father, to give you this time, a time of worship, a time of learning from thy word, a time of prayer to bring before thee our most desired prayer requests. We ask, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts tonight, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things in our text here in Luke chapter 12 that I want to dwell on, and I believe they will strengthen us in these days when people are growing weaker and weaker. I'm describing Christians growing weaker and weaker in their stand. I believe that these will sharpen us in days of dullness, and I think they will make us wise when foolishness abounds all around us. If there's anything that Christians need, we need a greater and stronger backbone to stand up for the Lord. We need to have wisdom to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we need to be sharp for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to go to battle with a dull sword. We want to be sharp. And how do you keep the sword of the Word of God? You've got to stay in it every day. You've got to be faithful in your Bible study. You've got to be faithful in searching the Scriptures so that you will know the truth. And so when you're confronted, you'll have something to say of value. Not just reaching back in and say, well, what was that thing that I learned 30 years ago? But rather, I've been in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving me what I need to say. By the way, the reminder is given here. Whenever you're brought up before synagogues and magistrates and powers, take ye no thought what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. How can that be true? Because if you're a person whose heart is saturated with the Word of God, you will have a foundation upon which to stand in the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say in those moments. He'll bring the Scripture to mind. I don't know how many times over the years. I remember being with Dr. Hobbs one time. We went up to the Farm Day tour. This has been 16, 17 years ago. And we were there, and a fellow came up to us, and he said, "You're Preacher Hobbs, aren't you?" And we were standing and said, "Yes, I'm pastor of Grace Bible Church." And they began to talk. And Dr. Hobbs just bluntly said, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" He said, "Yes, I trusted in Jesus Christ." He said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "I don't go to church." I said, "Well, it's important that you spend time in God's Word." He said, "Well, my wife is a prophetess." And that was like saying sic'em to Dr. Hobbs. Boy, he lit into him and said, "Well, she's false. There's no such thing as a prophetess in these days." He said, "You need to anchor your soul to something better than that." Well, boy, that was an offense to him. And his wife was the one that spoke the truth to him and said, "Listen, if you're denying the truth of the Bible, whatever your wife says doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says." Now, you know, these days, that kind of confrontation is, don't say anything like that. But you know, we need to speak up. Because we haven't spoken up, we're in the situation that we're in today. We haven't been speaking up like we should. We haven't been holding the standard high. When the enemy comes in like a flood, what does the Bible say to do in Isaiah? Lift up the standard. But when you let the standard fall down and the flags drag in the dirt, nobody's going to see what the standard is. And so we've got to get busy in that regard. And so I want us to look at these three things. First of all, I want you to see the leaven of hypocrisy, or we'll call it duplicity because I've got three D's that I'm going to give to you here. The leaven of duplicity destroys consistency. I want you to see that in verses 1 through 3. "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy," or duplicity. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is not being what you advertise yourself to be. Hypocrisy is saying one thing and doing something else. Now, you know, we live in a day and age where deception abounds. Where we try to be one thing for this person over here, we try to be something else to somebody over here. Instead of being the true person that we ought to be for Jesus Christ, we try to fit in whatever group we're in. You know, if the family over here is having a big family reunion and some of them are telling dirty jokes or doing stuff like that, you know, you don't stand up and say anything because you don't want to make any waves. You don't speak up and say, hey, listen, in my presence, I don't appreciate the dirty jokes. I'd appreciate it if you'd keep it clean. We have fear to even speak up and say a word in a family reunion because we're afraid they might not invite us back. Well, for Pete's sake, it's a family reunion. If they don't invite you back, there's probably a good reason for it. Maybe it's because you were a testimony, or maybe because you didn't speak up when you should have. Either way, God requires what from His servants? Faithfulness. Being loyal to Him. Don't be a hypocrite. And be one way over here and another way over there. I mentioned this to you a couple of weeks ago about a young man that used to be in our school. I was standing behind him down at the Sitco gas station, and he had one of those big cases of beer. And I tapped him on the shoulder, and I called him by name and said, how are you doing? And then it became hide the beer moment. Doing that, I said, I already saw it. I said, you know that stuff poison. It'll destroy your life. I know, Mr. Bell. We'll see you later. Right out the door. Yeah. They know it's wrong when a Christian comes up and speaks a word to them, says, hi, how are you doing? And they try to hide it and cover it up. They know it's wrong. They've been taught better than that. But they're a hypocrite. They're a hypocrite. They're trying to cover it up. So many times, we allow ourselves to be tainted by the leaven of duplicity. All that is covered up will be revealed. That's what the Bible says here. All that is done in the dark will be brought to light. The unmasking of hypocrisy is the triumph of truth. The triumph of truth is the unmasking of hypocrisy, and that is why there will only be one successful rule on this earth, and that's the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Because up to this point, there's nothing but hypocrisy and sham and political correctness. This idea of loving truth today has been lost on this generation. We need to watch out. Now, God describes this as the leaven of the, what group of people? The Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of Israel. They were the people who knew better, and yet they were the ones that were promoting this leaven. And the Lord Jesus warns the people and the disciples specifically here, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. You know what? You have to watch out for religious people. Religious people are the ones that have the most trouble with hypocrisy. Now you might say, well, I think a politician, I don't know about that. I think for the most part we have churches that are filled with people who are hypocrites. They live one way at their business and another way at church. You know, we used to talk about there was a church here in town here that looked like there was always a fire on Sunday morning behind the building. And it was about 60 people back behind the church smoking between Sunday school and church. And it looked like a chimney back behind the church. They finally, this particular church here in town, stopped it. They said, we're getting a bad reputation, you reckon? So what did they do? Said, don't smoke here on the church campus. If you have to smoke, go off the church campus. So they were going out in the woods and smoking out back in there. Ain't that pitiful? Now, what was the problem? The problem was they had a filthy heart, and they were being a hypocrite. They're being a hypocrite. There's a problem that we find today. Duplicity works against consistency in the Christian life. If you're a hypocrite, you cannot be consistent. Because you see, hypocrisy destroys consistency. We have to be consistent for the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is always self-verifying. An uncompromising attitude toward sin is not popular, yet it is right. Being on the right side is always the best and only course of action in the Christian life. Watch out for that little leaven of hypocrisy. It doesn't take much. There's a second thing that's given to us here in this passage in verses 4 through 7. We have the leaven of fear, or we would call it dread. The leaven of dread. Look in verses 4 through 7. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? By the way, when you see an odd number, that means that one sparrow was thrown in to the mix. Kind of like a baker's dozen, 13 donuts instead of 12. Well, here they threw in an extra sparrow, and for 2 farthings, you got 5 instead of 4. That's the picture that's given to us here. And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. There is much fear going into this weekend. What are they announcing on all the television broadcasts? Be alert. Be careful. Watch out. They have dispersed 500 FBI agents all around the country to set up special squads in major cities and areas, population areas, so they can do nothing but watch Facebook, Internet, looking for these one or two lone wolf individuals that are going to strike terror into America. The Bible says, fear not them which can kill the body. Fear whom? Fear God. What's the leaven? Security. That's the leaven of dread and fear. What does the Bible say about fear? The fear of man bringeth a what? It bringeth a snare. It will trap you. It will keep you from doing right when you ought to because you're afraid something's going to happen to your physical body. Now, we ought not to be foolish. I have been inundated in the last 2 weeks since the Charleston shootings with religious groups sending us all kinds. I've got a stack of papers from CLA, NCLL out of Texas. There's been a whole bunch of these things about what churches need to do. We got to get all the men armed to the hilt. We got to have pistols and got to set up security zones and so forth like that. Let me tell you something. All they can do is send us to heaven early if you're a child of God. Now, I don't think we ought to be foolish, but at the same time, what are we operating out of? The one that I had 4 pages long about setting up security details and how they should be walking around the church and how they should be stationed in the hallways and all that kind of stuff. Living in what? Fear. Who's watching over this campus? Who's watching over your house? Who's watching over your soul? The precious Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand and know that we ought to take precautions. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in gun ownership. But one thing is for sure. If God wants you to go, you're going to go. He'll take you one way or the other. But secondly, you ought not to live your life in fear. I ought not to live my life in fear. We ought to trust God. We ought to depend upon Him. You see, the leaven of dread will keep you from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what faith is all about. Faith is resting and trusting in Jesus Christ our Lord. But if you let that leaven start to creep into your life and you start to be afraid of those that can take your life, then you stop trusting. That's where your first step in the wrong direction is. You stop trusting the one with whom you have to do, the soul keeper, and that's Jesus Christ. We've got to learn to trust in Him. If the Lord can take care of sparrows, little birds, Aunt Carolyn in her office, she has a little picture of a bluebird. Beautiful picture of a bluebird sitting on a fence post. And she has a bluebird nest outside, and she has a nice watering hole for her blue jays and bluebirds and squirrels and anything else that decides to take a drink there. It's wonderful to watch those birds. I know out here during the baseball season, we've got a collection of bluebirds out here behind Field 6. And they would sit there and flutter around the field, and you'd see them dart back over to the oak tree, and then they'd dart back and forth. And then we've got a collection of crows on campus. I think we've got the world's biggest crows. They are huge because all they do is eat French fries, hot dogs, and hamburgers all season long, and they are so big. And they're not afraid of us. I had two of them sitting out here on top of the building. I was sitting out in my truck when I drove up. They didn't fly off. They're sitting up there, and they were just playing and hopping and crowing at each other and so forth like that. And it's wonderful. God takes care of them. They weren't up on the roof saying, "Hey, what are we going to do? Did you hear about the recession?" That means that these knuckleheads in Milton aren't going to be putting out seed in these food trays. What are we going to do? You know what? We got to come up with a plan A and a plan B. What happens if Beth Brainerd doesn't put sunflower seeds out in the bird feeder? What are we going to do? All right, well, they don't have those kind of meetings. You don't see squirrels congregating out in the backyard saying, "This is going to be a tough year, boys. We're going to have to find everything in the world we can find and hide it so we have enough to get through the wintertime." They don't do that. They do exactly what God programmed them to do. They're not worried about it, and neither should we be worried about it. We need to trust in the Lord. Very quickly, number three, the leaven of doubt. The leaven of doubt. There's the leaven of duplicity, there's the leaven of dread, and there's the leaven of doubt in verses 8 through 12. "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take no thought how what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." The leaven of doubt deteriorates confidence. The leaven of doubt reduces our confidence in the Lord. We are to confess Christ now, and we in turn will be confessed by Him before the angels of God. To confess is to not doubt. It's to trust. It's to show forth to those that are around us who we are trusting in and how great the one we are trusting in really is. That's confidence, confessing the Lord. To believe and proclaim unashamedly His name. Are you ashamed of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, we're seeing today so many people that are just throwing doctrine to the wind. And they're connecting with each other. I was reading just today an article written by a pastor, Ronald Cook, up in New Hampshire. And he was talking about all of the former fundamentalists that have now gone over to the other side. And he was sharing some of their writings about how they used to only be concentrated on the one God of the Bible, but realized that Hare Krishnas and Hindus and Buddhists all were worshiping the same God. They just had different understandings. And how foolish he was to believe in the God only of the Bible. What a foolish statement to make. He doesn't have a clue about what truth is. He's a doubter. And as a result of that, what does the Bible say about doubters? Revelation chapter 21. Doubters shall have their part in the lake of fire. Why? Because they refuse to believe. They refuse to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They doubt. They will not confess. To deny is to refuse Christ and to be ashamed to acknowledge Him. God will say, "I never knew you. Oh Lord, we did wonderful things in your name. We worshiped Thee. We did all these wonderful things. We cast out devils." And He said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." The leaven of doubt, folks, will keep you from doing what you ought to do, and that is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing His name. This is not a time in our nation's history for silence. It is a time for us to speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. It's time for us to speak up and be active witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, not to cower in fear, not to crawl in a hole and say, "We're not going to say anything because they'll take away our tax-exempt status." Really? That's what we're worried about? Listen, we as Christians today need to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be counted for Him, and that means on an individual level, not just the preacher. That means everybody. I mean, you be speaking to those folks that do your hair, ladies. Do they know you're a Christian? Do they know that you're trusting in Jesus Christ alone? You young people, you go work for somebody that you don't know for sure whether they're a Christian or not. Be a witness to them. Be a witness to them. I was so thankful. One of the young men on the ROV team witnessed to an Israeli that came over and was looking at their ROV and spoke fluent English, and they were talking there. Began said, "You're from a Christian school." "Yes, we're from Santa Rosa Christian Academy." And he began to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing with them the gospel. Being an active witness. What a testimony there. It's a time to speak up. "Oh, he's a Jew. I'm not going to say anything. I might offend him." No, we've got to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a time to be infected by the leaven of duplicity, the leaven of dread, or the leaven of doubt. This is a time for us to be standing for the Lord Jesus Christ and to be active witnesses. You say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Well, what did the Lord say? If you don't know what to say, trust in Him. He'll give you the words to say. Moses was all worried about that. Remember what he said? "Lord, I can't do it. I've got to have somebody that'll be the spokesperson because I can't do it." And so, as a result, Aaron was brought into the picture and there was constant conflict between the two of them. Who led the people in Baal worship or in the worship of the golden bull? Aaron. Yeah, Aaron. "Well, the people wanted me to do that." And so he collected the gold and broke it all down, mixed it all up and made an idol. And then when Moses came down, he said, "Yeah, we mixed that up and out came a bull." That's amazing. That was a miracle. Took place. Let me tell you something. Moses needed to trust God for the words to say. You trust God for the words too. Just seek His face. "Lord, I don't know what exactly to say here, but You give me the words to say," and step up. Honor Christ in that moment. He'll tell you everything you need to say. He'll give you the words to say. We've got to start trusting Him though. But many have been infected by the leaven of duplicity and dread and doubt. And as a result, we are not effective for the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. And we need Christians that are light and salt. Do I hear an amen? Light and salt. So you've got to stand with the Lord and He'll stand with you.